Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
All right. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, so grateful to be in your presence. Lord, we know that your eyes are on Virginia Beach right now. And Lord, we just thank you. We can trust you with our own very lives. Lord, have your way in our lives. Thank you for this adventure we're on called the will of God. And I pray, Father, we'll continue to move forward and grow, Lord, in our relationship with you and in all that you've called us to. Pray your word will speak life and encouragement to people today in Jesus' name. The 9 o'clock is they were much better at amening than you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, great to be here. And obviously being in Virginia Beach, a significant time, so hearts out to everybody. And of course we love these two. What a family, what a family. Look at you, Josh. What an upstanding man. Incredible. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. We love Steve and Sharon. We go back a long, long way. Somewhere probably more than 30 years or close to 30 years. So, yeah, it's good. Really good. Good to see Robert looking younger than ever. The rest of us all getting older. He just keeps looking younger. He's got this magic thing happening there. Not magic, but I already prayed. I won't do that again. Let's be seated. Thanks so much. It's coming back. The Bible talks about the years the locust and the cankerworm have eaten, and that God would restore those years. The locust and the cankerworm trying to swarm, bringing poverty and famine. And God said, it's coming back. Well, I believe in your life as well. You can't outgive God. You'll never come second by putting God first. And I believe it's coming back. What do I mean? Well, look, let's start here. All of us started exactly the same way. We had absolutely nothing. We were born totally naked. You had no money and you had no pockets. You had never paid a bill in your life. You never earned a cent in your life. You were just there. We all started like that. But the reality is, from that moment, whether we like it, whether we don't, finances touch every person's life. Whether it's someone living in deep squalor and poverty who is desperate, if it's somebody who maybe is on struggle street, you've worked hard, but you've had tough times, somebody else who's blessed and they've worked hard and are entrepreneurial and you can see the blessing in their lives, wherever you fit on the spectrum, whether we like it, whether we don't, money, finance hits every single person's life. We start as a baby, and from that moment, we're on a journey. And I want to ask you, is that journey in life, just in your life generally, and in your finances as well, is it just an aimless wander, wandering through life? Or is it what the Bible describes as pilgrimage? In Psalm 84, verse 5, the scripture says, blessed, I love that word, blessed is the man, the woman, whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is to a destination. It's a journey. I believe that we're called as believers and as Christians and people living out this life that we don't want to just wander aimlessly through life and let life happen to us. I want to have that sense of pilgrimage. Pilgrimage towards God's purpose. Pilgrimage towards his destination, his will for my life. And I pray we'll always be a people who are not just letting life happen to us, but we have the sense of purpose, of destination, of commitment, of calling, because that's the way to live your life. We all start the same way. And as I said, finance affects us all. And there was one baby in the Bible called Jabez. Like every other baby, he was born in pain, the scripture says. He was born in pain, and pain hits every person's life. Well, this Jabez, some of you would know of him, of course, but he prayed a prayer. And today, a lot of people would criticize you for praying the prayer that Jabez prayed way back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Listen to it. It says, Jabez was a better man than his brothers. Not necessarily better looking, not necessarily better at sport or better at anything. He was a better man than his brothers. Why? Because he was a man of honor. His mother had named him Jabez, meaning literally, oh, the pain, saying, look at it here. I love it. Saying, a painful birth, I bore him in great pain. Great things can come from your pain. A painful birth, I bore him in great pain. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, bless me. Oh, bless me. Give me land, large tracts of land, and provide your personal protection. Don't let evil hurt me. And what God gave him, what he asked. What did God think of a prayer like that? Give me land, large tracts of land. And the Amplified, oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border, or in parenthesis, my property. That's what Jabez prayed. And again, the scripture says God gave him, everyone go, gave him what he asked. Sorry, my voice is still breaking. Well, as I said, if you prayed a prayer like that, there'd be some people who criticized you. If I encouraged you to pray a prayer like that, God, give me land. Increase my property portfolio. Give me large tracts of land. It kind of sounds like a selfish prayer. And yet God gave Jabez what he asked for. And I want to encourage you to really believe that when God promises his faithfulness in your life, you can have an expectation that God will answer prayer. And you say, you're going to talk now about giving to get? Now, because getting to me is selfish. It's me, my, I. Getting is sort of like grabbing. But getting and receiving are very different. To give and receive is a biblical principle. And the truth is, to me, it's more fluid. You give, and you receive, and you give, and you receive. And it's not just about you. It's about the pilgrimage God has you on. God's purpose, God's direction for your life. So Jabez prayed this prayer. And why was he better than everyone else? Because he was a man of honor. A better man than his brothers, because he was a man of honor. And honor always starts in an attitude towards God. It's a powerful thing, honor. You can't demand it. You earn it. But our honor starts with God. And so as a man who honored God, God answered Jabez's prayer. Well, listen to Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Because it tells us we're to honor the Lord. And how do we honor the Lord? With your possessions. And with the first fruit of all your increase. And it says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Do you have any barns? Do you have any vats? I don't have a barn or a vat. But what I do know is it's a metaphor for every good thing. Just like the Bible describes Israel. When God promised a promised land, it was a land filled with milk and honey. Well, I've been there numbers of times. I haven't seen milk all over the place or honey all over the place. It's a metaphor for the goodness of God. And so here, the scripture is telling us we honor the Lord and our vats and our wine. New wine and overflowing barns. Well, how does that affect you? Well, it doesn't matter which way in the Bible people give. Over and over again throughout the scripture, there's a promise it's going to come back. When people give, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 38, when people give, the Bible says, give, and it will be given back to you. I gave you the wrong verse. It's in the Gospel of Luke. But listen to it. It says, give, and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. Will he add into your bosom? Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. In other words, you give, and the Bible promises it's going to come back. Some people say that verse is about judgment, and if you judge, then you'll be judged. And it does talk about that. But then it goes on and talks about condemn. If you condemn, then it's going to come back to you. But then it says if you forgive, it's forgiveness that's going to come back to you. So it's what we give that determines what comes back. See, that's the eternal principle. Give and it's giving back, but God gives back with interest. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over, will he add into your bosom, into your life. And so it's true with giving. That's just one verse, but there's verses all the way through the scripture. He who waters will be watered himself. The word of the generous gets larger and larger. The word of the stingy smaller and smaller, etc. It's there for giving. It's there for sowing. Many scriptures right through the Bible, an eternal principle that as a person sows, so shall they also reap. No farmer ever sowed a field and then thought to himself, I don't want anything back. I just want to bless the field. No. He sows with an expectation there's going to be a harvest, there's going to be a return. It's coming back. So if you give, if you sow, if you help the poor, the scripture says, and not just once, but numbers of times, that those who help the poor lend to the Lord. That's a powerful thought. You lend to the Lord, and it goes on, says, and he shall repay you. In other words, it's going to come back. There are promises for people who help the hurting and the needy and the poor. You give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Well, I believe, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. When you lend to the Lord, it's coming back with interest. He shall repay you. And he's not going to just shrimp on that and just give you the... No, no, it's coming back. Get it in your spirit. Believe it. If you tithe, we already heard from James Morris, awesome man from Texas. Incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a real-life Texan before. Hey, listen to me. When you tithe, he actually talked about it. Yeah. Even from Genesis to the end of the New Testament, when you tithe, there's promises attached to it. And right from the book of Genesis, well before the law, when God kept a tree for himself in the middle of the garden until his two sons, Cain and Abel, and one gave first and the other gave the leftovers. And whether it's Jacob who tithed or Abraham who tithed, this was all well before the law. Of course, throughout the law, the Bible says, Malachi 3, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and what? There'll be food in my house. And see if I'll not pour out such blessing, you'll not be able to receive it or contain it. He says, I'll bless the devourer for your sake. In other words, when it comes to spiritual attack and the work of hell and demons, God's already fighting those battles for you. When you honor God and you put him first, and it says, all nations will call you blessed. And so it's coming back. I think you're starting to get the idea. There's no way that you can live according to spiritual principle and not see the power of it in your life. In the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, seek what? First. First fruits. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added back to you. It's talking specifically there about your material needs and your physical needs. And it says that it's coming back. It's coming back to you. You know that scripture, seek first the kingdom of God. It's not the same as putting God first. It's actually a different Greek word. If you put God first, it's maybe like a shopping list. Number one, that's God. We give to God. We honor the Lord. And then number two, we need that new couch. And so we're believing to be able to do that. Number three, we've got to pay the school fees. And so, you know, we're getting ready for that. And you have your shopping list. But that word seek, where it's different than putting God first, is to seek. It literally, the Greek word means to crave, to long for God, to have this deep desire, this passion, this, I like you, this passion, this desperation for God. No, that's a different thing. And you know, we don't just treat God like a shopping list. It's God first, God second, God third, God fourth. And with that kind of commitment and trust in God, you watch how God will fulfill his promise in your life over and over and over again. You don't treat God like a penny slot machine. No, no, it's not what happens tomorrow. Let's believe God for miracles tomorrow. But you watch over the life and the lifespan of people who know how to honor God, and it'll come back. And what I love about God is he's not one-dimensional. He's not even three-dimensional. God is multidimensional. And never underestimate the different ways that God can bring back, and maybe already is bringing back, into your life. You see, we may think one-dimensionally, if I do this, then God is going to do that. But God's full of surprises. You're expecting God to work here, and he works over there. There's so many different ways that God brings back into our lives. I want to just give you a few thoughts about how God brings back into your life. You all good? Happy? Relaxed? Enjoying church? Yeah, you look like you're enjoying church. Look at you, wide-eyed. Yeah, look at you. What a Christian front row. Wow, front row. I'm going to go back and talk to those back rowers up there. Hey, listen, the different ways God brings back into our lives. Number one, I believe it's coming back. I was hoping I could read it there, but it's not there yet. It's coming back through spiritual discernment. You know, discernment, you can see something that perhaps can't, naturally speaking, be seen. God gives you discernment. It's like God anoints your eye. It may be about somebody. God enables you. You get discernment. You can see gold in people that no one else can see. I think if, you know, one thing that God has graced me with, it's been the ability to see gold in people that perhaps no one else could see. And then over years, see their lives emerge and grow and their impact become global. That's what I call discernment. Well, I think that God can anoint your eye. And so you see opportunities that perhaps no one else could see. We've lived in the same house, Bobby and I. Bobby's my wife, and we've lived in the same house in the Hills District of Sydney. It's where Hillsong comes from. It's not in the book of Leviticus. We're in the hills, an area called the hills, and we sing songs. So it's called Hillsong. That's pretty spiritual right there, isn't it? Well, that's where we started Hillsong Church in 1983. Well, for 25 years, Bobby and I have lived on the same house. Now, 25 years ago, I was driving around one day, and we were thinking, I wonder if we could move to a particular part of our suburb, our city, and I saw a piece of land, and it was different. It was kind of long, narrow piece of land. It was 1 acre, and it was covered in what we call in Australia bush, forest. For us, eucalyptus trees, gum trees, and just covered in bush. And I thought, I wonder what that piece of land is down there. It was like a ledge, and then it dropped down. And so I called the realtor, the real estate agent, and asked him about it. He started talking me out of it. He was telling me, he actually swore. He said, that's a of a block. And I'm trying to buy a block. This guy, he's trying to steer me towards other things. I called an architect. And the architect literally called it a dog of a block. It has an easement through it. But because of that easement, it cost me maybe between a quarter and a half of every other block in our street. And in those days, people were paying twice as much. Well, here's the thing about that block. I could see something that it seems like no one else could see. There was an easement, like I say, and the architect says, there's only one place you can build a house. And I'm like, I only want to build one house. So we've been there 25 years. It's now a beautiful block. As far as I'm concerned, we got the best bargain, not only in the street, but perhaps at that time in the entire suburb. We're still there 25 years. I could see something that maybe others couldn't see. Can I speak that into you? It can come by God giving you discernment. You can see opportunity nobody else can see. You can see an investment that perhaps you're not just listening to some person, but you see something. And it's rooted in trusting God, putting him first, honoring him, giving to him, and having an expectation that it's going to come back. Number two, different ways it's coming back into your life. Number two, it's coming back through unexpected sources. And that's what I'm saying. You think it's going to come from here, but all of a sudden, God brings it from there. Don't underestimate who God can use, what God can use, and where God can use somebody that is so unexpected to bring back into your life. It might be someone who doesn't even know the Lord. It might be through a circumstance you never, ever could have imagined. The Bible is filled with favor from God from the most unexpected sources. Though there was one king, the Persian king. Babylon had overcome Israel. People were taken captive, as perhaps you know. People, they had forced to leave their language, leave their culture, leave their temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and live in a foreign land. And so they were forced into captivity by Babylon, who were oppressors. But then Persia, the king of Persia, he overcame Babylon and became the most powerful man in the world. And who is he? He's the king of Persia. Well, Persia to this day is Iran. Iranian people are Persian people. So you imagine this. He's the king of Persia. He doesn't even confess to worship the same God that God's people, the children of Israel, that they worshipped. I'm going to read you these verses, Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. In the first year of King Cyrus, he was the Persian king, King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled the prophecy he had given through Jeremiah. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation in writing and to send it throughout the kingdom. Listen, this is what King Cyrus of Persia says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a house, a temple at Jerusalem, which is in Jerusalem, in Judah. Keep in mind, this is the king of Persia, Iran, talking about building God's house in Jerusalem. He goes on and says, any of you who are his people may go to Jerusalem in Judah to rebuild his temple of the Lord, the God of Israel who lives in Jerusalem. And may your God, see, he didn't even confess that this was his God. He's blessing God's people and saying, your God will be with you. And wherever this Jewish remnant is found, let the neighbors contribute toward their expenses by giving them silver and gold, supplies for the journey and livestock, as well as a voluntary offering for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Hey, listen carefully. This king of Persia, this Iranian king, he offered, number one, to let them go back to Jerusalem and finance the trip. Number two, he offered to build God's house, to rebuild God's house and pay for it. And number three, he said, I'll take up an offering for you right throughout the land. Now that's an unexpected source. Can you imagine the Ayatollah in Iran today deciding that he was going to build Wave Church's next campus, high to all the campuses there? Could you imagine that? It's a radical thought. It was just as radical in those days. The most unlikely source. God can take what's the Gentiles and literally put it into the hands of the righteous. What unexpected source could God bring back into your life? Number three, the different ways God brings back into our lives. It's coming back through financial miracles. I got faith for our own church this year to hear story after story of financial miracles. Faithful people just have honored God and been committed to his house for so long. I got this expectation for miracles. Do you ever think that maybe we, in believing for the big miracle, we never even notice all the small miracles God is giving us every day? Your teenage son got out of bed this morning before 11 o'clock. That's a miracle. That's a miracle right there. I know. We've had teenage sons. Listen to Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily, you know what that means? It means every single day loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah. Stop and think about that moment. What? Daily benefits. We can lose sight of the daily benefits. We start waiting for all the things that maybe we're not seeing, and we lose sight of the miracles that are happening in our lives. Is it possible that if we start to praise God and thank God for the miracles we're already seeing, that that's what's going to open the doors to even greater miracles? Let's not ever lose sight of the miracles that God is bringing into our lives today. Psalm 68, 19, daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render or offer to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? In the New Living Translation, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? Let's never lose sight of all that God does do and has done for us. Start praising God for the miracles you already have. Get an eye for some of the things that happen in your life that, even though they may seem small, represent blessing. And start thanking God. Thanking God. God can bless you through supernatural miracles. Yes. Number four is coming back as the fruit of consistency. Consistency has a great reward. You stayed married. No disrespect or certainly no condemnation to anyone who's been through the pain of a divorce. But I think everyone who has will know how painful it was. And one of the areas that it seems fairly evident is no one wins financially when it comes to, if you say consistent, it's one of the ways that God builds your life and blesses your life. Be steadfast, immovable. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Some people, they get itchy feet. If they're here, they think they'd rather live somewhere else. And you know what they say, grass is always greener. And they're constantly moving. Well, sometimes life, we have to move. Maybe related to your career or whatever, but this is different. I'm talking about a restlessness where people are never happy. They thought they'd be happy here, but they're not. So then they're there. They thought they'd be happy in this church, and then they're trying another church. Well, do you know something? That there will never, ever build strength into the areas of your life and the financial side of your life. It costs money to change state, to move cities. It costs money. It costs money to get divorced. It costs money, a lot of things. And that's why we can't live our lives according to what's already happened. That's why there's no condemnation. I have a church full of people, real people, many, who have been through pain in their marriages. But what we can do is look forwards. And as I'm moving forwards, I'm building consistency into my life. I'm staying married. I'm staying put. I'm putting my roots down. I'm planted in the house of the Lord. And you know what Scripture says in Psalm 84 about those who are planting the Lord and whose heart planted in the house of the Lord and their hearts are set on pilgrimage? It says they are still praising him. That's why I love seeing people like some of these people on the front row. Mr. Kicker, you probably didn't even think I'd remember your name. Josh Kicker, how could you forget a name like that? You're who's needed at the end of a game. Josh Kicker, coming out to kick the ball. His dad was a famous kicker. I don't know whether you know about that. You can't understand me, can you? Yeah, you think I'm lost, but that's all right. One thing about you, you may have a pastor who was born in America, but he speaks like an Australian. That there's almost the perfect blend right there. What a blessed man. And Mrs. Kicker, you think I don't know your first name, do you? Yeah, I don't. So, consistency number five. It's coming back through the paying off of debt. You know, debt, it stifles, it takes all the oxygen out of your life. The devil would love to overwhelm us with debt. I mean, we have to lease a car sometimes. We have a bill or what we would call a mortgage on our house. I'm not even really talking about that. I'm talking about when we're up to here in debt and you're literally almost drowning in it. I pray God will give you strategies and ways to break the power and the curse of debt in your life so that you can breathe. I doubt there's much that puts as much pressure on a marriage or a relationship as debt. There's not much that stresses us out and keeps us living under pressure as debt. There's not too many things that keep us the tail instead of being the head like debt. I'm going to believe with you, as you put God first in your life, that he's going to break the curse of debt over your life, and he's going to give you the wisdom to make the decisions. When Jesus told three stories in Luke 15, one the lost sheep, then the lost son, the prodigal son, then a lost coin. So it tells a story about a woman who had 10 coins, 10, and she lost one of them. So she now had 9, but she didn't just give up on the one she lost. No, what the Bible says, it actually says she cleaned house, she swept house. She got rid of all the clutter and she found what was lost. We often are looking out there for the miracle in terms of God bringing back into our life. But if we just swept house, got rid of some of the clutter, some of the debt, it's amazing how in-house you can find the blessing of God. It's coming back. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'm telling you, you put God first. You give, you help the poor, you sow, you tithe, you water, it's coming back, the scripture says. Well, listen to me. Number six, it's coming back through supernatural opportunities. Supernatural opportunity. You got the job. You got new clients. You got a new contract. You got new opportunity. You got that promotion. But there's supernatural opportunities. Seems like it came from nowhere. God can bring it back into your life by putting his supernatural power onto areas of your life which literally are supernatural opportunities. I love the praise reports. We have prayer requests and we have praise reports and the praise reports. So often you can see how faithfulness, God's just bringing it back into people's lives. There's going to be faithfulness in this service before the service is done. And I'm going to believe with you, as you put God first, I'm going to believe it's coming back. Well, number seven, it's coming back through divine turnarounds. I told the last service, divine turnarounds. In other words, something was looking like a disaster and God turned it around. I was telling the last service how in about 2007, 2008, one of our campuses in Sydney, it's the one closest to downtown. We call it our city campus. It exploded with growth. And so we were having eight services, two Saturday night, six all day Sunday. The building was overwhelmed and we desperately needed something new. Well, what happened was we bought a piece of land. Sydney is expensive. It cost $28 million for just a few acres. And then it became fairly evident after a while that the city, there's no way the city were ever going to let us build a church building on that land. So we bought it for $28 million right before the global financial crisis. And suddenly we find ourselves with a piece of land worth $11 million. So that's $17 million just gone up in smoke. As a pastor, I've never had to go to the church and on behalf of the board and say, hey, I know you people gave and but, you know, we lost that money. I've never had to do that. It looked like a disaster. But over a period of a few years, a developer, not even a Christian man, but a long-term friend and partner of myself and of our church, really, he approached us about perhaps developing that land. So long story short, he bought hundreds of apartments on that land. We had $28 million. It went down to $11 million. But by the time it was all over, he sold every one of them off the plan before a single brick was built. And what happened was the church from that ended up with over $40 million. 28 down to 11 to over 40. What am I telling you? I'm telling you it's coming back. That's a divine turnaround. And God can bring a divine turnaround into your life as well. You say, well, hey, I'm not thinking millions. I'm just thinking of next week's rent. Same principle. Exactly the same principle. Let's just believe God that what looks impossible, it looks like a disaster, God's going to turn it around in Jesus' name. And number eight, it's coming back through gifts in kind. You know what a gift in kind is? It's when someone does something for you and you can't necessarily give to them directly according to what they've done for you. But you give a gift in kind. Imagine I have a bulldozer. I don't. But imagine I did. And you do something for me. And so you do something for me, but I can't give back to you in terms of maybe money or finance now. But I can use my bulldozer to clear your huge tract of land. Your huge tract of land. I could do that. That's called a gift in kind. Someone does something for you here, but you repay them over there. Let's believe that there's no limit to the ways God can bring back into your life. It's not getting, it's receiving. When we receive, we have the spirit of the kingdom. We make it about the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom, and then we watch God adding all those things he promises into our lives. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Well, at the beginning of this year, I just felt in our own church, Hillsong Church, to get our people to declare something and confess something over this specific area of their lives. Does God care about, you know, our money? God cares about everything about your life. Everything. So I just want you to see this faith decree that I got our entire church to declare. It says, I am a child of God, made in his image and committed to his cause. In 2019, I want Christ's selfless nature to frame my life and be my guide. I recognize God's extravagant generosity toward me, and I desire to reflect his generosity in all that I do. 2019 will be a year of breakthrough, favor, and blessing as I commit to living my life extravagantly generous. I'll be generous toward God, toward my church, toward the people I love, and toward the people who need my generosity the most. I believe financial revival is in the air. If something's dead, it needs reviving. I believe if you're facing loss in your life, specifically financially, that there's revival in the air. I want you, before we finish, I want you all to stand everywhere, every campus, every location. Let's all stand together. Stay with us, please, for just a moment. These next few minutes are critical in this service. So I'm going to ask you to lean in and stay with us. But I want us all together, out loud, big voice, to declare this and confess it and declare it, because I'm going to believe with you that you see this in your life, and especially as people today sacrifice for the work of the Lord, I'm going to believe it. So are you ready out loud to declare this with me, 2019, my faith decree? Here we go, everyone. I am a child of God, made in his image and committed to his cause. In 2019, I want Christ's selfless nature to frame my life and be my guide. I recognize God's extravagant generosity toward me, and I desire to reflect his generosity in all that I do. 2019, the rest of it, will be a year of breakthrough, favor, and blessing. Extravagantly generous. I will be generous toward God, toward my church, toward the people I love, and toward the people who need my generosity the most. I believe financial revival is in the air. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hey. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as people give and they sow, and Lord, they help and they honor you and put you first in their finances. I pray, Lord, that it's coming back. Lord, that you can work a myriad of different ways to bring blessing into our lives. And I pray you will surprise people with your blessing, your favor, and your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Let me ask you a question. It's a personal question. Again, I'm talking through this link to every campus. I want to ask you, have you ever made a conscious choice, a conscious decision to surrender ownership of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever encountered him in a personal way, by a personal way, and encountering him in a personal way? I mean, there's a moment, there's a time when you know your life was transformed. You know you were changed. I believe today is going to be that day for people here. The Bible says if you ask Jesus to come into your life, he will come in and he'll live in you. You'll encounter him. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It'll be a new beginning, a new day. And I know this is the moment and the day for people across every location, every campus right now, to make this choice to encounter God in a personal way. Maybe at some point you prayed a prayer asking Jesus into your life, but somewhere along the way, you lost your way. And it's not as though God moved. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the constant. He really is. There's nowhere I've ever seen in the Bible where God unsaves anyone. He's constant. He saves us. But we make our own choices. And we could be making life choices that are alienating us, separating us from the center of God's will. Effectively, you're backslidden. You've gone backwards. Not God's fault. But you know, he has open arms. There's no more inclusive message than the good news of Jesus. And no matter who you are, if the day will be the day when you choose, I'm making a choice for Jesus. I'm going to come back to living out of an ongoing, Jesus at the center, relationship with God. I believe today's the day for many people. In just a minute, I'm going to count to three, and on three, I'm going to ask every single person everywhere who says, Brian, please include me in your prayer. On three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and I know there's going to be a whole lot of hands. You're not going to be the only one. And what are you raising your hand for? You say, Brian, when you pray for people to make their conscious choice for Jesus, will you include me? Then on three, you raise your hand. If your prayer is, Brian, when you pray for people to have that God encounter, to encounter him in a personal way, would you include me in that prayer? On three, you raise your hand. If you say, Brian, when you pray for people to be saved, to be born again, to have that brand new start, will you include me? On three, you know what to do. Raise your hand. You say, Brian, I've been backslidden. I've been away from God. My life's going in the wrong direction. I want to come back to Jesus at the center. On three, you raise your hand. You say, Brian, when you pray for people to get right with God, turn from their backsliding, you raise your hand. On three. So I'm going to count to three. And on three, every single person everywhere who says, Brian, please include me in that prayer. On three, you raise your hand. I promise you, you're not going to be the only one. Throughout the church, every location, there's going to be a whole lot of people make this choice for Jesus today. Can we have every eye closed everywhere? Every single person in prayer. And if you say, Brian, please include me in that prayer, then on three, you raise your hand. Here we go. One, two, three. Lift them up right now. Keep them raised. I love this. I love it. I love it. So many people with their hands raised. I wonder who else will join them. Who else will join them? Make this choice for Jesus. You lift your hand as well. Today is your day. It's your moment. I believe today is a transformation day, a salvation day for a whole lot of people here. Give them one more big congratulations. Big congratulations. And out loud, in big voice, we're going to pray this prayer together. You pray after me. If you raise your hand, you pray this to God. And everyone else in the room, we're going to pray right along with you in support. So in big voice, come on, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, this is the moment. I surrender ownership of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of you, Jesus, from this moment, my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God, a new creation, a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your forgiveness and mercy. I am a believer. Jesus is alive in me. Do you believe it, church? Do you believe it? Come on, let's give those people another huge congratulations. And thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.